For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
It is a great pleasure to have Taigen in the house, ready to talk. And Taigen is, of course, our guiding emeritus teacher of, 20 plus years. I think this next week or this week coming up, a week from now about, is an anniversary of the first meeting of Ancient Dragon, 23rd maybe anniversary when we met in a living room. Now we're back in a living room. So a little different. See, we don't have a dog here. And Taigen was living in California at that time. So without further ado, I think everyone knows that Taigen is not only a wonderful Dharma teacher, but a great scholar of Chinese and Japanese Buddhism, in particular Dogen, but could put, I say, he's a Dharma jukebox. You can talk about anything related to the Dharma. So here you go. Thank you, Taigen.
And equip the scene.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome. Can you all hear me? Good. So I want to talk this morning about Shanti Paramita, the Bodhisattva transcendent practice of patience, or could be translated as tolerance or forbearance. So maybe some of you do not know about the Paramitas. Is there anyone here who does not know the 6 or 10 Paramitas? Okay, good. So I will go over them. There are 6 traditionally in Zen: generosity, ethical conduct, patience, which I want to talk about today, enthusiasm or energy, effort, meditation, and insight or wisdom. Those are the first 6. And then in the Flower Ornament Sutra, there are 4 more in Huayin Buddhism, and the Flower Ornament Sutra, which is very important in Soto Zen. There are skillful means, vow, powers, and knowledge. So there will not be a test, but just to repeat, generosity, ethical conduct, patience, effort or enthusiasm, meditation, wisdom or insight, skillful means, vow, powers, and knowledge. And part of the point of these, so these are bodhisattva practices, transcendent bodhisattva practices. Part of the point of them is that they work together. So patience is very important for effort or enthusiasm. It's also very important for meditation and for ethical conduct and for skillful means and vow and so forth, all of them. So they interact. But I want to, again, focus today on Shanti, patience. And some of you have heard me speak about this before, but I feel like patience is very, very important. So I will talk about that today. And all of these practices, these paramitas, these transcendent practices, are about helping to relieve suffering and promote awakening. So patience. How do we feel patience? So patience in some ways is about waiting. And in our everyday activities, waiting in the grocery line, waiting for the CTA, for a bus, for the CTA, waiting in Zazen for the bell to ring. So patience is very important in Zazen. How do we sit upright, attentive, eyes open, paying attention, and with patience? Patience is required. When is the bell going in? Some periods go by very quickly. Some periods seem to take forever. But in all of them, patience. Waiting for the Doan, hoping that he has not fallen asleep. Waiting. So the practice of patience is about waiting. Waiting for things to change. Waiting for situation in our life, in the world, to shift. Sometimes we don't want things to shift, but still we are waiting. So how do we practice patience of waiting? Shantideva, who was a great Indian master and whose work is studied in all the Bodhisattva traditions, focuses on the six paramitas. And he speaks of kshanti as forbearance or tolerance, even tolerating being tortured, tolerating horrible situations. But also, Shantideva says the enemy of patience is anger or hatred. So when we're angry, it's hard to be patient. When we feel hatred, it's difficult to be patient. And yet, patience is in some ways how we overcome anger, how we overcome hatred, just to be patient with the situation we're in. And then again, patience, just waiting. And the practice of patience is when we notice impatience. So, you know, we're driving on the freeway and somebody cuts us off and you get upset and angry and, you know, impatient. Or when we're waiting in the grocery line and someone's taking a long time and you can feel impatient. So everyday things produce impatience. And practicing patience is to notice when we're getting impatient. When is this period going to end? When is the bell going to end? So various levels of impatience we can notice. We can notice being upset with some situation and being angry and somebody cutting us off from traffic. But, you know, if we're noticing impatience, we can also practice patience. We can say, oh, maybe that person who's driving, is tailgating or, you know, weaving in and out of traffic, maybe they're trying to get to the hospital. Somebody's in the hospital and they need to get there. Or maybe, you know, they're rushing for some reason. So how do we practice this actually practice patience in our life, in our everyday activity? And not knowing what's going on, you know, not knowing is Zen. There's a Zen koan about not knowing being most intimate. So we don't know when the bell's going to ring. This is the intimacy of Zaza. We don't know when someone is going to take care of whatever situation. And patience is about not knowing. It's about, okay, when is this situation going to change or end or be over? Or when will I get to the front of the line? Or whatever. So not knowing is the story about that. There's a koan about that. The student goes to the teacher and is about to go out on pilgrimage. He's practiced for a while with this teacher and he's going to go out and check out other teachers or check out other sanghas or whatever. And the teacher says, well, what is the purpose of your pilgrimage? And the student says, I don't know. And the teacher says, not knowing is nearest, not knowing is most intimate. But patience is active. It's not passive. It's not passive or just waiting. Patience is an active, transcendent practice. It's waiting with attention, paying attention as we wait. This is difficult because, you know, when we're waiting, we can get sleepy or we can just get, you know, fall into passivity. But waiting with attention, we are ready to respond. So patience, this active practice of patience is to be paying attention, to be seeing what is going on, not necessarily doing anything, but when there is something to do, to respond. when we see some response, to act on it. So patience is an active practice, not passive. It's not just, you know, passively waiting, oh, okay, at some point, the bubble. It's paying attention to what's going on in my heart mind as I sit facing the wall, or as we stand in the grocery line. What's going on? Or as we're looking at some situation in the world, how do we respond? And sometimes there's nothing to do. So this is the thing about patience. We're actively paying attention to what's going on in this patience paramita. And yet, maybe most of the time, there's nothing to do. We're just paying attention. We're just watching. We're waiting. But sometimes there's an appropriate response. So the great teacher, Yunnan, was asked, what is the teaching of the Buddha's whole lifetime? And he said, an appropriate response. So we respond. We respond appropriately. What is appropriate? Well, we don't know. This is where the practice of skillful means comes in. We are practicing patience. There's nothing to do, but maybe there's an appropriate response. Maybe there is something we can do. So if we're paying attention, well, how do we wait and yet be ready and willing and able to respond when there is an appropriate response? In our current situation in the world, patience is very important. So we must see long term. Shakyamuni Buddha lived, what, 500 BC, more or less? Long time ago. Dongshan, who thought about suchness, lived in the 800s. So, a long time ago. Dogen, who we talk about a lot, lived in the 1200s. He brought Zen from China to Japan and wrote voluminously about it. Even though there's nothing to say about Buddhism, just Dogen. But Buddhism is beyond words and letters. And yet, Dogen wrote a lot about it and how this works in our lives. So even the current damage will pass. We're living in a situation in this world where there's a lot of damage happening. Immigrants are being stolen off the street. Men in masks without any insignia. And, you know, some of us here may be immigrants. This is Serena, who's an immigrant from Canada. So right now they're focusing on immigrants of color, people from South America or Africa or Haiti. But I think there was a Canadian who was recently taken to, deported, and not given due process. So this is a terrible situation we're in. So how do we oppose the politics of cruelty? But how do we do it without hatred or anger for anyone? Hatred and anger is the opponent of patience. So, you know, this damaging situation will pass. But we need to be paying attention. We need to be responding. But without hating anybody, without anger, we may feel anger. Yes, you do. So I actually just want to hear about how patience is for all of you. And I'm almost done. But patience, again, is an active practice. It's waiting, watching, but not passively, paying attention. When we see something to do it. Sometimes there's nothing to do, but we're paying attention. So in the current situation, to see groups that are doing things that are positive, that you feel are positive, and to join with them, to support them. How do we oppose the politics of cruelty? Without falling into cruelty ourselves, without hating anyone, without anger, but staying upright, being present, paying attention. Zazen is a great teacher. How do we see the wholeness of even this situation? And there are lots of things to do, actually. There are lots of groups. My email inbox is very full. And I keep stopping some of the emails, but it's still very full. There are groups that are working to support patients, to support people who are being harassed, people who are being taken up by ICE and deported, for example. How do we support, groups that are working for peace in the Middle East? That's a big one. How do we support the end of genocide in Gaza? How do we support, everybody in the Middle East having some space where they can be present? So, patience is necessary, but it's active patience, it's responsive patience. We can respond to all of this. So, I want to hear about all of your practices of patience, impatience, and seeing how this impatience, when we see our impatience, we notice, oh, there's a place I can be patient. And again, patience, combines with generosity and with ethical conduct. How do we see how to be generous? How do we give gifts in a way that is patient? How do we express our effort or enthusiasm, but informed by patience? So I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much. I'm interested in hearing about all of your practices of patience.
Before you speak, I'm going to hand you the mic. Okay.
You place your hand to the show. And that goes forward. Since I'm not here,
okay,
I think people might hear me, but I'll kick us off. What are we waiting for with all this patience?
We're just waiting for the next thing. It's like, okay, here we are, and something happens, or it doesn't happen, but that's happening too. So how do we be present and just wait, but actively wait, paying attention is so important. Our practice of Zazen is about attention. Yes, attention to what? Exactly.
I mean, I think about this in terms of grasping. Sure. Sometimes waiting can be a form of grasping, waiting for what we want.
Yeah, so.
Interesting. I mean, I love this conversation.
Yeah, waiting for something, and we want to grasp it. We want to get a hold of it. That's part of waiting too. Exactly. So how do we wait open-handedly? How do we wait paying attention, but not expecting something, but actually being present with all the things that are? So Serena has her hand up. Hi, Serena.
Hi, Taigen. Thanks so much for your Dharma talk this morning. I'm sorry I'm not with you all today in person, but it's great to be present remotely. I found in the last few days that it was helpful for me to end all my subscriptions with these different entertainment centers like Netflix and Apple TV and Amazon Prime, which was a big one, and then Amazon Video, and all the channels in order to donate some more money to a better cause and commit to not distracting myself while I'm waiting for change, because it just feels like when I've been watching films and television series, that it's not actually helping me. It's kind of just like anesthetizing when I'm in a feeling of like, yeah, I want to see things change. I feel impatient for change, but I'm not going to seek distractions during this time, because I think it's actually adding to my discomfort, and it feels like that staying present in discomfort is more valuable to me right now. So I think that that is part of the active quality of patience for me, even though I feel very impatient with political affairs right now and our country and, you know, the suffering that is happening. So I'll be able to activate better when the time comes. So
thank you, Serena. Yes, so Serena's practicing patience by paying attention to what's happening and letting go of some of the distractions of various streaming services. And I'll just put in a word for that, though, that one can pay attention to the things one's streaming, not as distractions, but as places to awaken. So, you know, culture, literature, film, whatever, can be a distraction, or it can be a place for patience, an active place where we see something that we didn't see before. And yet, I appreciate very much your deciding to let go of subscription. So it's different. You know, one of the things about patience and about Zen in general is that it's different for each person. Nobody can tell you how to be Buddha. You know, you have to find it yourself. This is part of patience. You have to see what works for you. And it's not some cookie cutter thing. So anyway, thank you, Serena, for that. Other comments? Yes, Jake.
Thank you for the talk, Tigan. Can people hear me online through Tigan's mic?
Free. Can you hear him online?
So I got some nods there.
Okay.
So I find that patience for me manifests as compassion often. Some of the examples you were giving, you know, when we're sitting, waiting for the dawn, ring the bell, my legs start to hurt. You know, I have compassion for myself. I can adjust. Use a cushion that reminds me. You're in traffic and somebody's speeding potentially to the hospital, having compassion because we don't know. Or, you know, for the massive cruelty that we see in the world right now,
right,
I try to have compassion for the people that are orchestrating these things, because what must motivate them? What fears must they have? What are they so, what, why would they have these feelings? And I feel this vast compassion for, not for their actions, but for whatever must have happened to them and motivate them to take these sorts of actions.
Yes. Good. Thank you. Yes. So, yeah, the cruelty that's happening now, eventually, and this involves patience too, but eventually will shift. You know, the pendulum swings. There'll be new elections. And yet, right now, how do we respond to the cruelty that's happening without, you know, blame or shame or anger or hatred? It's difficult. It's really difficult. Other comments? Yes, Paul?
Thanks. Thank you, as always. So as you know, one of the hardest, deepest kinds of kshanti, right, is called the patient acceptance of the non-arising of dharmas, right?
Yes.
Of
Anupadika dharma kshanti.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, thank you.
And that condition doesn't end, right? That doesn't go away. And so I'm wondering how and I appreciate the talk about waiting and patience and compassion, but what about with situations that don't, you can't wait for them to go away, right? Could you talk about that?
Yeah. Well, we act in those situations, you know, when there's some situation that we're waiting for that's not going to go away, how do we act? And there are ways to act, you know, even in terms of the cruelty that's happening. But Anupadika dharma kshanti, thank you for reminding me. That's the ultimate patience is the patience with the ungraspability of anything. We can't get a hold of anything. Everything is shifting and changing. And so, yeah, Anapadika Dharmic Shanti, the patience with the ungraspability of anything, of things, is actually considered all of awakening. It's the ultimate patience. It's the patience that we can't know, we can't grasp, we can't get a hold of what to do. So this is why skillful means is so important, and skillful means is slippery. How do we skillfully respond to all of the people who are being taken away? You know, it's heart-wrenching. It's really, you know, where do we find compassion for all those people and for all the situations in our life, in our world? So I don't have any answers, but I know that paying attention, trying to respond, help, you know, working with groups that are doing something that seems helpful. And this applies in our personal life too. You know, we can't, some situation of waiting in Zazen, when's the bell going to ring? You know, we can't get a hold of that. We can look at our watch or something, you know, although you're not supposed to have watches in this area, but anyway. except if you're the speaker, and then you have to know. But yeah.
How about this?
Yes.
So let's look to Hakuin's, where Hakuin has this bridge, this log bridge, and it's above a chasm of ungraspability, and they're blind practitioners walking, tapping together. You see all of them. Yeah. And I think we do this together, not knowing.
Yes.
And knowing that the jig is up. You know. And but it is a big thing.
Yeah.
I find myself, like this morning, when Johnny and Caleb walked in, I was about to come into the Zendo to open the Zendo. It's a little ceremonial thing.
Right.
But then I saw these two people and I was like, okay, let's go anyway and make them wait 2 minutes. And I'm like, wait a minute, they're guests. And stopping in the middle of that and just trying to like, oh, okay, let me reorient. I could feel it in my body. You know, Paul was with me carrying incense, you know, we're ready to roll and, you know, the Han's about to start. But this ability to stop in the name of caring or just noticing that kind of energy that might roll over someone or off the cliff. So I think this is such a wonderful practice you're opening up for us, Tyler. It's very subtle.
It's very subtle.
And Paul, I think your comment about Anapadika Dharmic Shanti, you know, this, you know, we're getting a dose of that in the sense that there are many things going on that we can't stop, that in a way that's like immediate or feels immediate. Yet to position ourselves with this kind of tapping, you know, to see what can we do that just moves us along through this uncertain, crazy world that, you know, we're all going down with the ship eventually.
Well, we're all going to pass away. Joanna Macy passed away yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I was awake for her Berkeley home this afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon, maybe we'll do a memorial service for the tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
I think it is on the docket. So
good.
So many. But maybe you could say, what about who Joanna Macy is?
Joanna Macy
is
the great lady of deep ecology, is one way that she is described by someone. She was a teacher of mine, and talking about patience, great patience. She saw the nuclear waste and how that was going to be deadly for tens of thousands of years and more. And you know, she proposed nuclear guardianship, spiritual communities, just guarding nuclear waste sites for many centuries. She also, she talked about a lot of things, about deep time and about, well, about patience, but deep time is about patience. So she talked about the work that reconnects, even in this time, that we can reconnect with the great turning, the possibilities of turning, which seem now to be very limited, but the fact that things change and that there is a turning in the world. And she talked about it in very specific ways. Anyway, she was a great teacher. So Dennis has his head stand up online for a while, so I want to include him. Dennis.
Thank you, Tagen, for the talk this morning. What struck me, one of the things was, you said it was the connection between impatience and anger. And for me, that's always a good sign that I'm being impatient. The thing I've been working on is being patient with my impatience.
Can everybody hear him? Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm trying to be patient with my impatience.
Right.
And, you know, I'm aware that a lot of my anger at myself, I project out on to others. And a lot of my impatience, I project out onto others. And so it's, you know, I've been working on that first step of trying to just see my humanness and then maybe seeing their humanness in that moment.
What? I'm sorry. I'm
seeing their humanness, my humanness, and I can see their humanness.
Yes.
In that moment. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Dennis. So yes, working with your impatience. There's no end to that. There's, you know, there's impatience of, with, you know, the current situation. There's the impatience of waiting in line. There's the impatience of waiting for the Doan to hit the bell, whatever. There's no end to that. The practice of patience, because of Anuttapadika Dharmakshanti and because things are changing, we will need to continue this practice of patience forever. This is not something that, oh, okay, then we're going to solve. It's being patient with things as they is. And so the practice of patience is to notice your anger and your hatred and your impatience, to notice when you feel that and to pay attention to that, to feel what you feel. So Zen is a very passionate practice, actually. You know, you walk into a zendo and everybody's sitting upright and still, and it looks very, you know, stoical or something, but it's actually a very passionate practice. So, yeah, Karen has something from New Mexico.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I thank you, Tagen. You've reminded me about a set of audio CDs that I have that's from Pema Chodron, and it is about Ashanti Deva's book on the way of the Bodhisattva.
Right.
She talks about finding freedom from anger, resentment, and other destructive emotions, and she references different verses of the way of the Bodhisattva that Ashanti Deva wrote, and I've pulled it out and I'm going to listen to it again because I've always loved it and I haven't listened for a while. So I just wanted to tell you that I'm appreciative that you reminded me about this, and it's been pulled out. I'm going to be listening to work on that. So thank you.
You're welcome, Karen. Yeah, Ashanti Deva, there's several translations in the library here. Is, yeah, wonderful resource. So I don't know if we have to pause it.
I thought David Weiner might have had a comment. Did you, David?
Oh, David.
Yeah, it's okay. I was being patient with my impatience of my turn to talk. Yeah, I think the thing that, this is more of a comment. The thing that I really got out of your talk today is about expectations and how we look for things to change, you know, and how that the patience is not grasping. Patience is being attentive to what's happening now. And there are times where I'm impatient. I wish I could just go off and kill Trump. And there are times when I look at Trump and I say, my God, what is going on? What did this person suffer that he's acting this way, that he's acting out of cruelty? You know, and so I get impatient with my impatience.
Sure. Yes, of course. Impatient with your impatience. That's good.
Yeah.
And so how do we practice patience when we're impatient with our impatience?
Yeah.
And it's not just Trump, you know, it's a whole...
The whole cabal.
it's the whole, all the billionaires who are getting tax breaks at the expense of some of the other people. So yeah, it's of course one might feel anger or hatred, but that's extra. That's not helpful.
Yeah.
It's not helpful to feel anger or hatred. Of course we feel it. So you have to feel what you feel. But patience is a great antidote to that. Just seeing that you can't get a hold of anything.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's the grasping. That's what I got from the talk today, which I hadn't realized before, is that my impatience is really about my wanting something and grasping for it.
Yep.
And that the practice of patience is letting go of the grasping.
Yes. And that's hard. We do grasp at things. We do want things. We do reach for things. And, you know, we all want, you know, to be loved and to express love and to have a healthy, happy situation and to, for all the people we love to be well and, you know, all of those things. This is a common part of being human. And expectations, nothing ever happens according to your expectation. We have expectations, you know. I mean, I took notes so I would, you know, speak this morning, but this isn't the talk I thought I would give. If I thought I would give a talk, I mean, it's what it is. What it is this active situation that we can't get a hold of, we can't grasp. So thank you, David.
And Howard just grabs the microphone, and so maybe he can give us the last word yet.
Hey, Howard.
I originally just had a question, but now I have a comment, so this is not surprising.
Good.
You know, it's funny because, like, I'm sitting here throughout today, and I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling a lot of impatience.
Impatience, yeah.
And I don't know why. And I find myself not even, like, trying to fix it, just, like, trying to figure out, what am I impatient about? Like, do I just want to talk? Like, waiting for my turn? Am I just waiting to get the hell out of here? Am I waiting for a retreat I'm going to on Wednesday? Am I waiting for, like, the next big change in my life that's going to fix everything? Like, I keep having to scale back, right? And go, okay, but there's pain there. That's what that is.
Yes.
And I'm so busy trying to get away from the pain to figure out something that I don't know how to be patient with my own pain, which is caught up in everybody else's pain too. And also what I realized too, what I'm feeling a lot of recently anyway, and probably for reasons obvious and there are reasons unobvious to me, is I feel a lot of rage. I feel a lot of anger.
Uh-huh.
I'm like shaking a little bit just saying that out loud. And I'm wondering, the question I was originally going to ask was, you know, bodhisattvas can use anger too.
Absolutely.
So how does a bodhisattva use anger that is compassionate, that is skillful, and not
suffering? Thank you for that.
Suffering?
Yes. So I want to speak for anger. Even though I was saying that anger is the enemy of patience. Anger is kind of another paramita, you know, in a way. But how do we use our anger? How do we use our rage? You might be filled with rage. Well, okay, but maybe you can leaven that with patience. But still, there's anger about the situation. So anger about the way the world is now, anger about, I'm just so angry at the genocide in Palestine. I'm just, and, you know, and I'm Jewish, so I separate anti-Semitism from the state of Israel. Opposing the state of Israel and what it's doing is not anti-Semitism. But, so, sorry, that's, well, no, that's part of it. Anger. There's lots of things to be angry about. There's lots and lots of things to be angry about. Epstein, you know, and Trump's connection with him, whatever. And the way that ICE agents are moving around without identifying themselves. And, you know, so I'm angry at ICE. I think ICE should be abolished. But, okay, what can I do that's helpful? You know, how can we use so the point of anger is to not be, to see it, to not be, to try and not be obsessed by it, to leaven it with patience and not with hatred or anger, you know, but to see what it is that actually you're angry about, to see what you can do about it. There are lots of organizations that are doing great things. Doctors Without Borders, or the ACLU, or, you know, and to support them. And, yeah, go ahead.
It's maybe going to be time for announcements.
And it's going to be time for announcements soon. So, my gosh, I'm not angry about the announcements, but...
before announcements, what happens is
yes.
Someone will set your table aside, and you'll go and do the four vows.
Yes.
And then we'll have announcements and tea. So we won't have work period right after our announcements. What we'll do is we'll have tea so people can chat with Tygen. And then those of you who have patience to hang out and do a little work practice will feed up.
Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and to the extent to every being and those.
With the nations of the world's gray beings are numberless. We vow to free them. The reasons are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. The best ways is unsurpassable. We vow to realize that beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Collusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to let them with us is unsurpassable. We have to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through it. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it.